All right. Thank you guys for that worship. Wonderful. My goodness, it was good to see Miss Jackie Wampler again. I used to say I'd close my eyes and listen to her, and I'd think, that's Patsy Cline. That's who that is, a Christian Patsy Cline. But beyond her singing, what a beautiful person. Just beautiful. Just the love, just meeting her. So, God, thank you for our brothers and sisters. It's a beautiful thing what the love of God will do to a heart, to a human heart, and then what that gives to those around them. And that's what we're looking for, is the fullness. So, Lord Jesus, thank you for that. You know, I'm thinking about what she's doing right now in heaven. She's one of those, again, you know, when you do funerals. I've had a couple of funerals this week and going to be having another one here in another few days. And I begin to think about heaven a lot. I use my imagination as I read Revelation 21 and 22. I love it. And it's just such an amazing thing that this is where it's headed. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords living in me, and I can bring that realm into my life, and ultimately I'm going to be swallowed up into it. It's like win, 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 and we're just winning. We get to just immerse ourselves in that truth. It's just wonderful. But we still got work to do here, folks. And so we're going to be talking about mission this morning. We're still on going out of heritage and into mission. They all kind of just intermingle, really, as you look at the word. And of course, Lee and Joey are giving the Sunday night, the Wednesday night. We're going to flop it up next week, and Lee's going to preach Sunday morning, and because we want all of us to hear the Spirit of the Lord coming through each one of us in our own unique way, because that's the way God does it, and it's a beautiful thing. And so I've been through in the last few Sundays looking at our image-bearing capacity, our created purpose. It was to represent God, and He made us very much like Him so we could communicate with Him and know Him, and then in that knowing, represent. And then we talked about the fall and how God left the yoke, and we felt the weight of the responsibility, the crushing, crushing weight of the glory of God that we were created to uphold with His strength and in union with Him, but that was removed, and now we're just crushed with this, the weight of the glory of man's created purpose and this creation, and all that comes with that, so we have this phantom pain inside of us that's this. We knew we were made for something more, and we have ideals for that more. We want all these things, but we can't get them, and so we have this pain we're trying to fill, this pain in here we're trying to fill with anything and everything except the one thing that will make it better, and of course Christ Jesus is that thing, that one, that union, that reunion with God is what satisfies this pain within. And Jesus came back. He's the one and only. That's what we looked at Revelation 5. He's the only one worthy to open the scroll. He's the one and only Christ Jesus. It can't be anybody but the one. And it's very clear in Scripture. If you study it all out, it's amazing the lengths that God went to let us know this is the one. Cannot be another. So good to have Scripture in that way. As a reminder, as a refresher, as a solid rock behind us. So today we're going to look at what does a disciple look like. Now that we have bowed our hearts and our lives to Jesus, who's the author and the finisher of our faith, we've given our lives best we know how. We've said yes to His salvation, to His forgiveness of our sin, of our absolute need of Him. We've laid our lives down. We've come into alignment with His Lordship. Now what does that look like? And that's what we want to talk about tonight. It, in a word, it is love. That's what it looks like. But again, it is God love. It's not any other kind of love but agapeo love, which is a self-sacrificial love. It's not a human love. Our love is performance-based. Did you guys know this? I tend to give my children love when they perform appropriately. And when they perform right, then I'm like, hey, give me a hug, way to go. But when they're being brats, golly. It's like, Jesus, help me. I need your love. And I find I don't have it. Is anybody else like that? It's like, where is it? Where did it go? God, I need this love so desperately. And it's so good to know that He's present to give it to us. So let's look in the Word and get some reminders here. We're going to be in John 13, 34 and 35 to start out with. John 13, 34 and 35. And this is what is called the Great Commandment. We know we have the Great Commission. But the Great Commandment comes before the Great Commission. You cannot do the Great Commission appropriately unless you're doing the Great Commandment first, because that's how you get the source, the whole spirit of the commission. So you can't go and do the commission without having the commandment live in you. So what is the Great Commandment? John 13, 34 and 35, this is Jesus speaking. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all we will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Now, another way of saying this, Jesus goes on to tell us that if you love, you know, you'll fulfill all the commandments. You just need to fulfill this one commandment. What is the greatest commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. And if you do this, You fulfill the entire law. So he puts the Great Commandment right there, square and center. Love me with everything you've got, and then love your neighbor as yourself. So there's three loves in there that it's kind of aimed at. But what we're talking about here is love God, love people. Now in between there is yourself. Love God, and as you give yourself to God, then He tells you who you truly are, and you agree with Him. You can't disagree. We got a lot of self-haters out there. I'm one of them. I'm a recovered self-hatred addict, where Jesus says this about me and I say something else. No, I'm an idiot. I'm stupid. I'm dumb. I'm this. I'm that. I'm all these things. Jesus said, "Hey, I just said what you were, and I agree with me." You have to agree with Him, guys. He bought all of our old identities. He paid for them and He bought them. And He says, "Give them to me. Now I give you this new identity. You are my child, my son and daughter. You're filled with my love. That's who you are. Go represent me." Love God, love people. That's the Great Commandment. So Jesus lives this out and He tells us to follow Him in this way. Jesus, that's what He did on in his earthly life. By following the Father, though, wholeheartedly, Jesus was led to death on a cross. Okay, so Jesus, let me say this again. Jesus followed out the Great Commandment perfectly. And where it took Him was death on a cross. Okay? Well, that's important that we understand this. Let's look at John 12. It's not far away here. John 12, 23 through 26, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." He goes on to say, "He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Now, this is Jesus talking about this pathway that He's on. He's on this pathway because He's doing the Great Commandment, which is to love the Lord His God with all His heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love His neighbor as Himself. He's fulfilling that commandment, and it's leading Him to do this, to take His life to the cross. Now this word here in verse 25, "he who loves his life," is actually the word psuche in the Greek. It's soul. So he's literally saying, "I'm taking my soul to the cross, and I'm asking you to take your soul to the cross also." That's the way to fulfill the Great Commandment. So Jesus took his soul to the cross. Well, what's the soul? Well, just really quickly, the Bible tells us the soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. The soul is earthy, okay? It's earthy. We were created both to be amphibious, so to speak, spiritual and earthy. Okay, we were supposed to inhabit both of those in the right priority, in the right way. And of course, we lost that with the fall, and we just became earthy. We're just soul-like, soul-led. And that's why Jesus had to come back to make us spiritual again, to give us the Spirit, to reconnect us so that we could be led by the Spirit again and not be earthy, not just be my way, my wants, my needs, my desires, my thoughts, my understanding. That's what the soul is. Jesus had a soul too, and he took his soul to the cross because the Father told him to. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, not in your own understanding." Now, your own understanding is what your soul thinks about everything, because that's where it's all housed, is in the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. We make decisions based on what we've experienced and what we think we know to do. That's appropriate. That's reasonable to us. And he's saying, don't do that. He's saying, trust in the Lord. The Lord is a spirit. Be reconnected to give your life and surrender in trust to the Spirit of God, who will lead you into the truth. He says, if you'll acknowledge him in all your ways, he'll make your path straight. And many times, your soul will want to zag, and the Spirit will say, no, you need to zig right here. And you'll be like, huh? I really think we ought to zag, God. I'm pretty sure we need to zag. According to my calculations and everything I've been through, this is the way right here. And the Spirit says, no, I need you to zig right here. And the mature believer can zig instead of zag. And that's the process of sanctification. Getting better at going with the Spirit instead of going with what we know is we got to do right here. It's clear. So that's the difficulty. We know that Jesus had a soul, and we know that because he was human, just like we are. The Bible's clear about that. And we know that he had earthy desires because he was a perfect human. He fit in really well here. He loved people. He cared about things. He was alive. It says that he was tempted just like we are, except he never sinned. And in Luke 22, we find his soul speaking when he's about to go to the cross, and he says, God, is there any other way? And then he comes to this, not my will, but thine be done. See what he's saying is not my what the will's in the soul. He's saying, I want to go this way. I want to avoid what the Spirit is leading me into. I want to go over here. Can we not go over here? See, his will was crying out. He wanted to not suffer in that way. And I've always thought that's all that he meant. Maybe Jesus was just saying, I don't want to suffer this way. But I thought about it this weekend. I was like, I wonder if there was something else in there. I wonder if it was deeper in Jesus. I wonder if he thought about or if he ever entertained the thought of staying and leading that little band of 11, 12 people into, you know, just all the things he could have done here. He could have done anything. Whatever he wanted, he could have done it. He could have led in a revolution. He could have led that little 12 into thousands, into millions, into he could have become the king of the world, couldn't he? Now, I'm not trying to put this onto Jesus, and I know he was sinless, and I don't want to mess that up or anything, but I'm just wondering, did he ever entertain the thought beyond that, not my will, but thine be done. Within my will, I wonder if Jesus ever thought about it. Because I know he loved these guys. He really loved these men. He liked being with them. He liked them. He loved Jerusalem. He loved the beauty of the temple and his people. He loved the earth. He loved it. So, you know, there had to have been a part of him that thought like a human would think about, what could I do here? I could do some good here, couldn't I? Father, couldn't I do some good here if I just... I'm playing around here. I probably shouldn't even do these things, but I'm just thinking through what was his will. Now, maybe he did or maybe he didn't. We never know this. It's not recorded. I'm just trying to make him a little more human for me and you. But I'll tell you what we do know, guys. Without question, we know what the disciples wanted him to do, right? We are clear on that one. Jesus was their ticket, and they knew it. I mean, just think about the disciples. Their ticket to greatness. The disciples were very clear on what they wanted Jesus to do and what they knew he could get them. And see, Jesus zagged when they were thinking he ought to be zigging. It's this upside-down kingdom that God brings into the equation, this spirit-led thing. It's always nearly opposite what we think it ought to be till we start learning his ways. So they were loving the idea of Jesus going this way. I mean, can you just see the disciples and the way they would think and maybe talk with one another? We know who they were doing this because it's in the script. They started talking about who was greatest, you know, who was going to have the best spot in the kingdom after this all happens. Can you see them just like guys do and girls do, dreaming about the future that they could see coming? It's unfolding right here. It's right here, right now. I mean, he's the man. How did we get here? I could see John and James talking about, we were just fishermen. And we're next to this guy. We're headed to greatness. It's me and Jesus. It's us. And look at this. It's just going to be awesome. And my goodness, did Jesus zag on them hard and destroyed their dreams in their small-minded souls. See, and we have to be so careful not to fall for the same things. We've got to be spiritually minded in where we are. So Jesus zags hard and he lays down his almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing life. He lays it down. Can you imagine being one of those disciples and seeing it going that direction? We had it made. What are you doing? Now, Jesus did this, let me remind you, because he is lovingly obeying his Father. That's why he's doing it. He's fulfilling the great commandment. It's why he's doing this. See, Jesus loved the Lord his God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, and he loved his neighbor as himself, and he did that perfectly. He fulfilled the great commandment perfectly. Now, in the garden, if we can back up just a little bit before he goes to the cross, he's in the garden again, and he says something that just stuns the disciples. And it really stuns me, too. It should stun us all. It's in John 16. Let's look at that and just talk about that just a little bit, because so much rides on this statement. Okay, so we know John 14, 15, 16, 17 is just that time with the disciples before the whole passion thing begins and he ends up on the cross. And so this is like that final talk. It's powerful things here. And in John 16, 7, Jesus is explaining all these last-minute details, things that he needs them to know. This is the last thing. He's trying to give them, this is the final reminder and word of what's happening and what's going on here. And in the midst of it, he says, John 16, 7, he says, I tell you the truth. Now, this is what's so stunning. He says, it is to your advantage that I go away. Now, swallow that, guys. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Okay, now this is why Jesus had to do what he was doing, because he was going to leave them so that they had to be reborn, so that the fulfillment of why he died could come to pass, which is for humans' capacity to be born again, born anew, a brand new life in a whole new spirit. that Peter could go from the guy with the problem with putting his foot in his mouth all the time to the guy that would turn the world upside down with his life. It's a vast difference if you study out especially Peter's life before the Spirit came to him and after. It's a completely different spirit in him. So, and I would pose this question to you guys. What would you choose? Would you choose Jesus himself in the flesh right here? Or would you choose what we're supposed to already have, the Spirit? I'll tell you what my soul would choose. I'll tell you what your soul would choose too. It'd be a whole lot easier if Jesus was here. Jesus, would you just come here and lead us to greatness? Just lead this nation to greatness? Would you just come and take over? Lord, would you just be the pastor of this church? Wouldn't that be easy? Could y'all follow Jesus if he were here? I don't know. I'm not saying that about you. I'm saying that about us. I mean, why aren't we following him right now? These are some heavy, heavy things here, guys. And I'm not trying to beat us for this either. This to me is like the greatest excitement, because I really believe Jesus was telling the truth here, that it was their advantage that he go. And it is our advantage too. So what that means is, since he's not here, because he's not here because he wanted to send the Spirit, which he says was better, how are we not tapping into that, folks? It's present. It's here. Jesus was not lying. He was saying, if I go, I will send the Spirit, and that's better than me being here in the flesh. Do we believe that? If we believe that, if we get our faith into that, and that river begins to flow in us, it'll do the same thing it did for those disciples. We'll turn the world upside down. To the degree that we won't be wringing our hands over a presidential election, because it won't matter who's the president. It just won't matter. We'll be filled with life itself coming out of us. We'll be living out a life that's fully and wholeheartedly given to him. We'll be doing the great commandment, which is loving the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves, which is the entire point. That's what the Spirit is here leading us to do. That's what we get to do. Guys, we are just a couple of repentances away. I don't know how many it is. A couple, one, a million, I don't know. The point is, it can turn on hard and heavy on us, because Jesus is already gone. He's already done the things he needed to do. He's already brought the Spirit to us. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about what would be next. So here, let me tell you what I am feeling today. If Jesus were here physically, you know what he would lead us to do? Straight into death again. That's what he would do. Y'all know he would zag when we want him to zig. He's going to zag. He's already zagged. We already know this. He's already gone that direction. If he were here today, he would lead us back to the cross. Why? Because it's perfect. It was perfectly done. He's not doing it over. He didn't get it wrong the first time. He got it right. We just have to be reminded of that. This is right. Go to the cross. Follow me to the cross. Take your soul to the cross and die. And on the other side of that, there'll be resurrection power and life come through you. And you can change the world. Any one of us, guys. Any one of us. Kernel of wheat falling to the ground. Jesus says this. I studied this out this week. Luke 9. Let me go to Luke 9 real quick and share this with you. Luke 9, 23 to 26, this is Jesus, and he says, "Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever's ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Now that phrase, that little thing right there, Jesus says like eight different times. I think it's eight. It's seven or eight. And in the Gospels, he says this over and over and over again. This is a theme of his, to deny yourself, to take up your cross, and to follow him. So to take your soul to the cross, just like he took his soul to the cross, is what he says. That's the way, the truth, and the life. That is following God with all your heart. That is loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. To do that is to take your soul to the cross. There we are born anew, a brand new being. Guys, Jesus' solution is execution. You know that? We must die to our old self. Jesus does not take the old man to church or to Sunday school. He doesn't teach him the golden rule. He executes him. See, we just gotten stuck in religion where we're just trying to self-improve. Just throw a little Bible verse on my life. And I don't know that we're fully understanding and fully embracing the taking our soul to the cross and dying there. And then understanding there's a brand new life. All things new are coming out. All things new. So we go to the cross, we repent, we confess, we get prayer, we get all whatever we need to die there. So that this new life can come. Because the new life can't come if there's still life in the old. If we're still living in that spot, if we're still doing that thing, if we're still stuck wanting our own way and our own will and letting our soul live out its desires, then the new life can't come. So it's got to die. That's where we are today. Religion is in the soul. So is politics. It's in the soul. It's not the answer. So who is the problem in this world? This is what I came to, guys. You know what the problem is in this world? Me. That's the problem. The person who would say that Jesus is Lord, but who hadn't figured out how to die to himself to the degree that the glory of God could come through his life and change the things around him. I'm the problem. James 4:10 says to humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. God, I just will admit I'm the problem. Lord God Almighty, I cry out to you that by your grace and your mercy and your spirit, you would lead me to the death on the cross, that my soul would die so that your life might live and a new being would come out of those ashes and that being will glorify you. Lord, I cry out to you for that in my own life before my brothers and sisters. I would ask you guys, pray for that for me, please. I'm here to tell you I'm the problem. And I'm asking you to pray that the cross would be applied to the depths of my being so that the life of God could come out of me. Because if it could come out of me, I've found life eternal. There isn't anything else here. There's nothing else to gain or to get or to enjoy. For me, and yet I'm still alive. This old man is still alive. But this is the truth, guys. I'm not a victim. I'm not a victim to anything. I'm not a victim to this world. I'm not blaming the devil or America or my entitlement from all the blessings I've had as an American. I'm not using any of that as my excuse. I just want to die. I want to go to the cross. I don't want to commit suicide. I want to die to myself so that this new life can come, so I can be a part of God's solution, which is love. It's love. We must be born again of the fullness of God's love. Imagine if any one of us tapped into this, guys. Any one of us. So I wanted to share a story about World War II. The Band of Brothers is a documentary, docuseries on World War II. I love World War II, and I think it's fitting, it being Veterans Day tomorrow, Veterans Weekend. And I wanted to share this because this is where we are, and asking God to give us grace to do this. In the Band of Brothers, it gives you a perfect, I mean, an eagle's eye look at what it was like to go through World War II from the very beginning all the way through it, through Easy Company, that they were paratroopers, they were dropped in behind enemy lines, they were surrounded immediately, and they fought their way through Europe in that fashion. And so in the middle of it, I mean, we're in the war now a year or two, there's a couple of guys who have a little interchange. One of them is a captain who's named Ronald Spears. And the other one is just a soldier. His name is Blythe. Now, Captain Spears ended up retiring from the military as a lieutenant colonel. And I don't know much about rank, but I think that's a pretty high rank. I mean, this guy was a man's man, a soldier's soldier. He's one of those that just performed in battle, just got it done fearlessly. And you watch him in the series because it shows different things. And it's a true story about real people, real heroes. Lieutenant Spears just operated fearlessly. You look at him and you watch him, you're like, oh my gosh, that is amazing that a person could function that way in the midst of bullets flying everywhere. Just fearlessly is how this guy would conduct himself. And he had gained this sort of aura, you know, from the other men. It's like, oh my gosh, that guy, he's a soldier right there. That's what you're supposed to look like. But he was also pretty merciless and crazy, and if you can imagine the type of guy you'd need to be in such a situation. So Blythe, on the other hand, is scared to death. And in this one scene, in where there's all this interchange of fire, where they've got their foxholes, you know, they would dig in on either sides and they just start going at it, and bullets are flying and bombs are going off, and all that type of the fog of war is hit, and it just shows Blythe, and he's down in his foxhole and he's just screaming. He's screaming. He's terrified. He can't move. He can't get up, because if he got up, maybe a bullet had hit his head. He couldn't function. He's supposed to be standing up and firing. That's what he's supposed to be doing, but he can't do it. He is locked in fear, and it's been a problem since he got there. And I can understand Blythe. I'm like, hey, buddy, I get you there. I think I understand you a lot more than Ronald Spears. And so they have this interchange, these guys, this one night. And Blythe begins to confess to Lieutenant Spears, who's this super soldier type. He kind of confesses his sins, his weaknesses. He says, you know what, when we were dropped down on D-Day, he says, I didn't try to find my company. I didn't try to find anybody to fight. He said, I got in a ditch and I hid. He just was confessing this weakness that he felt. He was ashamed of himself and this fear he's struggling through. He confesses it to this super soldier. He was admitting that he was scared and that he felt like a coward. And Spears says to him, he says, do you know why you hid in that ditch? And Blythe says, I was scared. And Spears says, we're all scared. He says, but you hid in that ditch because you think there's still hope. But Blythe, the only hope you have is to accept the fact that you are already dead. And the sooner you accept that, the sooner you'll be able to function as a soldier supposed to function, fearlessly. And my goodness, is that not Galatians 2:20? Let me refresh you on Galatians 2:20. It's the Apostle Paul. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, Paul knew he was already dead. And that's why you couldn't stop him. Even if you killed him, he might rise from the dead. because he was already dead. And I'm afraid that many of us have this hope that we're going to get to have it our way here and get to do it our way. And we're functioning out of that. And when you function that way, you cannot function as a soldier should function. Just can't be done. Folks, if we've accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, you and I are already dead. It's not about us anymore. It's not about what we want. It's not about what our soul desires. It is about what the Father commands. And he commands for us to be baptized in a love that is a divine love. It's a self-sacrificial love. It lays its life down for other people. Certainly for the love of God to represent him. And I'm just about done here. I want to read 1 Corinthians 13 because that is what the love is. And I just read this at a funeral this week and was reminded. It seems like it's been years since I've read 1 Corinthians 13. And man, it is a smack in the face to read the love of God that we are to be living in every day from. It's our fuel. It is who God is. If we fulfill the great commandment, which is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves, we will live out 1 Corinthians 13. Let me read it to you. Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. Now let me stop there real quick because I want you guys to pray for me about this. If I were to look at those first two verses, if I could speak with the tongues of men and of angels, that means you've got this divine ability to communicate and speak. Man, I tell you what, I have a desire for that. Man, I want that. That sounds like what I need. A big time. God, give me that. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, oh my goodness, God, give me that. I think that's what I need right there. If I could have that, if I could just stand up here and say a bunch of stuff and everybody thinks I'm just so smart and so wonderful and so awesome and so powerful, I think that's what I need, God. Oh, God, give me that. Would you give me that? Lord Jesus. And I have to tell you, that's a weakness of mine. I want that so bad. And I say that as a confession of sin to you. Would you help me die to that? It is trash. He says it's nothing. You're just a clanging cymbal. If you had that, you're just a clanging cymbal. That's nothing. God, I want to be baptized in the real thing. I don't want that. Lord, I don't want to be that. Please, God, baptize me with your love. Now, I don't know what your thing is, but I'm just telling you what my thing is that I've got to die to. I just want the love of God. That's what I'm finding out. I want love so I can love my wife. So I can love my children. When they misbehave, I can still love them. I want to lay my life down for my wife and my kids and my brothers and sisters and my church. I want to be the real thing. Anybody else want to be the real thing? I'm serious. I want to be the real thing. That's what it is. Love. Love. It's not brilliance. It's not this or that or whatever else our soul thinks. It's got to be this. It's got to be, we got to have that. No, it's not. It is die to it and be born again in the love of God and then lay it all out for the world, representing who he is. That's what it is. That's what we get to do. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Now he gives a list here and we'll be done. Love suffers long and it's kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. So today I say to you, brothers and sisters, we have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords established in the heavens. He is King of glory. And he said that it was better that he's not here so he can send the Spirit. And we have the Spirit here with us. The Spirit of God is within us. Lord Jesus, we ask you to open our hearts that we would be filled with your love. You are Spirit and you are love. May we be filled with your love and pour it out in our day, Lord Jesus. God, I lift up to you our nation. So many hurting people, so many people that are so deceived. God, they need love. God, they need a church that's standing up in the light that can pray the power of God into their situation, that the enemy is removed, that their hurting hearts receive the perfect love of God. Father, the only place that can come from is from your church. You've set it up that way. God, may we be that church. And Lord, I know we're going to be that church, and so I worship you for that, Father. Lord, we're grateful for what you're doing in us and through us right now, Father. We worship you. We praise you. We magnify you. Come, Lord God, in deeper places. Deeper places, Father, come. And we thank you for what you're doing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So we're in a time of invitation now. If you guys would stand. If you'd like to make any kind of a decision for the Lord, maybe you want to come to know the Lord Jesus as your Savior today for the first time, we would love to help you do that right down here. If you need prayer for anything, we see some powerful things happen as we agree in prayer, as we would anoint you with the oil representing the Spirit's grace. Or if you just want to come and be a part of our church, you want to be a member, you see this is something, the place that God has called you to be. Right now is the time to do that. This is an open invitation for anyone to connect with God in powerful ways. So if you would, come.
So. Oh. Calling, oh sinner, come home. Time is now fleeting, the moments are passing, passing from you and from me. Shadows are gathering, death's night is coming, coming for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are
still open if anyone needs to come.
All right, you guys ready to go home? Yes, well, go blessed because you are blessed. Be filled with the love of God. Let Him come through you. Father, bless our people. We love you. And be back tonight. You are dismissed.